Hey everyone, let's take a look at Luke chapter 19. With Luke chapter 19 and the story of Zacchaeus in Jericho, we bring an end to the long journey of Jesus from on his way, starting in chapter 9. It says he set his face to Jerusalem. Jericho is kind of the end of that journey as he makes the last leg. And the story of Zacchaeus is a culmination of that story. So let's look at it, starting in verse 1 of chapter 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Such an important story. And again, I want to emphasize that this is the culmination of this journey to the cross. And if we pay attention to all the stories in the journey, there's some common themes. Again, it was all about Jesus going to the cross. But along the way, Jesus has taught an awful lot about money and how people make money more important than God and how money keeps people from entering into the kingdom of God. He's also taught a lot about tax collectors, and he's also eaten with a lot of people whom the Pharisees and others think unsavory and not worth eating with. And all of these themes come together in the figure of Zacchaeus, who is both very rich and a tax collector. And people grumble about Jesus eating with him. We should also mention that I don't think Jericho is an accidental association either. Remember, Jericho was the first stop in the Promised Land after Israel miraculously crossed the Jordan River, and there God delivered a curse. Well, there's a kind of ironic reversal here, because in Jericho, there's going to be a blessing given, and Jesus will go on up to Jerusalem, and there he'll give a curse. So there's this sort of reversal of the pattern of the conquest in the time of Joshua. And it all connects up with Jesus' desire to seek and save those who know they're lost, who know they're sick, who know they need help. And Zacchaeus seems to be one of those. Again, he's a chief tax collector. I think there's some fun irony here. He's very short, but he's a big man, right? He's a big man because he's the head of the tax collectors. And he's rich. He's probably the administrator over the whole region of tax collecting that even stretches to Galilee. So we can imagine it would be a very rich person. We should also note that Jesus has just said, just a few verses before, that it is almost impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yet we're about to see a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven. I think if we were also to mention Jericho again, just as Rahab the prostitute showed hospitality to the spies, So this tax collector shows hospitality to Jesus, and that just shows that he came to seek and save the lost. And it's sort of the reason why we might say that Jesus says that tax collectors and sinners will enter into the kingdom before others who don't think they need to repent. Notice, too, that when Jesus comes to him, it's clear that Zacchaeus is interested in him, but apparently Jesus has had Zacchaeus on his mind because he stops. He looks up, he addresses him by name, so he knows him. We don't know how he knows him, but he knows him, and he's looking for them. And he says, "Hurry." We're not told why he says, "Hurry." There's a big crowd, maybe that's part of why, but he says, "Hurry and come down." And then he says, "I must." Jesus has this imperative that he must stay in Zacchaeus' house because, as he's going to say in a few verses, he's seeking to save the lost, and he's seeking Zacchaeus. And then he says, Jesus doesn't invite himself to dinner, he says, "I must stay at your house." So the impression is he's going to spend the night there. So Jesus is quite imposing here. And again, it's underlining the fact that with man it's impossible, but with God it is possible for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, of course, as has happened all along this journey, the people grumble. And in particular, I think we should assume it's the Pharisees grumbling. So they're the 99, right? They're the 99 sheep, and they do, and this is very significant, what they did in the Old Testament. It's the same word that's used in the Old Testament for what Israel did with God. They grumbled, they complained. And so here too, the 99 are complaining. They're not rejoicing in God seeking and saving the lost. So it ties their grumbling to the resistance of the people of God to the prophets all through. Finally, notice what Zacchaeus does. We're not told what the message is. We can assume it's the message of the kingdom and the message of who Jesus is. Zacchaeus stands up and says, Lord. He addresses Jesus as Lord. And he gives us here the image of what repentance should be, right? I think a lot of people think repentance is simply admitting wrong. But it's clear from John the Baptist that repentance means bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You need to do the deeds that show that you have fully repented. And so Zacchaeus does that. He says that I'm going to give up to half of my belongings to the poor, the good works that show he's repented. And then if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to restore it fourfold. In other words, he's going to restore it in an abundant way, like the Old Testament suggests he should restore what he's defrauded from other people. And so Jesus says, salvation has come to your house, right? How does Jesus know that? Because he is repenting, not just with, yeah, I've done wrong, but with bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. He is putting his money where his mouth is in a very significant way. We can imagine that we're talking substantial sums of money that are involved in his giving up to half and restoring to the poor. And then he says that because he too is a son of Abraham. What's the connection with Abraham here? Well, remember in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, John has said that you need to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Just being a child of Abraham genetically doesn't help you with your standing before God. Well, Zacchaeus is not relying on his genetic heritage. He's responded to the good news of the kingdom of Jesus, and he's bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. So may the Lord Jesus lead us to repentance as he has sought us by name, as he has called us, as he has said, I must stay with you. May we receive the grace of him helping lead us into repentance, and may we bear fruit in keeping with that repentance. Amen.